Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up! I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to the 200th episode of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Oh, not much. Happy anniversary, Ed.
Cool. Thank you. And we got our other co-host on the line, Couture. What's going on, Couture?
200 shows. That's fucking depressing.
Why is it depressing?
I don't know. It just is.
Well, you know, the first 50 episodes were freaking awesome.
Oh, was that the drunk cast bullshit?
Yeah, that's back when we used to have a guest every week. But, you know, times change and you just got to change with the times, so. So what's going on, Craig? You weren't here last week, or were you? I don't even remember.
No, I wasn't here last week, and Couture wasn't here last week either, so. No,
oh, that's right.
Both of y'all
bailed out on me a week before our landmark 200th episode.
Well, I did tell you that I was going to be gone, because there was a wrestling show in town.
It'd be one thing if it was, like, WrestleMania or even just the WWE, but you went to freaking TNA.
Yeah, and it was very, very fun. Got to meet some of the guys. Had a good time.
Did they promise you a pay-per-view in the future?
One more time, I'm sorry.
Did they promise you a pay-per-view in the future in Kent?
You know they did.
I don't know.
I don't think we're going to get it, but yes, they did promise us a pay-per-view in Kent sometime.
I wonder who tells more lies, Jeremy Borash or Dana White?
I'm going to go with option number C, I lost the dude's name in my head. The guy that hawks all the shop stuff for TNA.
Don West.
Don West has never told a lie in his life. What are you talking about?
When that man
says that there are only 5 baseball cards left and available, there are only 5 baseball cards. That's great. And they're all signed and authorized for you. No.
He told the crowd that Earl Hebner had reffed his 100,000th match.
It could be
10,000th match. Yeah.
He's an old man. He's been around for a while. I'm sure he hasn't had as many as Bronco Lubitsch, but, you know, he's getting there.
Dude, that would be like 75 matches a month. For as long as he's been in the business. It's impossible.
Well, see, the thing is, Craig, he doesn't just referee one match a night. You know, he probably referees, you know, back when, especially when he's doing WWE and they do the long-ass, you know, 3-year tape Raw shows. I'm sure he's refereed up to at least a dozen matches on some nights.
I doubt that Earl Hebner's had to get like hip replacement surgery from getting down to do a slow ass count like Bronco Lubitsch used to do. Yeah,
he did screw up. He did screw up one at least one three count that I can remember.
Back in world class, they should have just made all the counts like 10 counts. That's by the time he got down there and got the thing finished.
Hey, Bronco Lubitsch was fast compared to some of these luchador referees in Mexico.
Bronco was so slow that King Kong Bundy just told him to count to three.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why he always, King Kong Bundy always did the five count gimmick everywhere else, because that's what he was used to.
I didn't even know why he bothered even get down on his knees. Just do the count while you're standing up. One, two, three. It don't matter with your foot.
Right? No one would have cared as long as it was on Eric City somebody.
Yeah.
So where were you, Couture?
I had to go to Louisiana with my mother last weekend, so.
Did you go say hello to Rodney?
Well, no, I didn't go to every city in Louisiana.
It's not like there's a lot of cities in Louisiana. You know, you see the drop by and say, hey, Rodney, thanks for being a fan of the show, instead of, you know, but of course, you know, you're a racist and everything.
Well, I said hello to the first black guy I saw. I said, hey, Rodney, you know they all look alike, so I figured that was him.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, well, see, that's all you had to say. That's good enough for me.
It's a joke.
Rodney does look like the black referee from the WWE who might get fired this week.
A little bit. Ain't gonna lie, a little bit.
A little bit, more like a lot.
I know you look like JT Smith.
Rodney does not look ghetto like JT Smith, dude. If Rodney showed up in Vegas with some grill, some goat grills in his mouth, I'd have to mark out for that, though.
Are you thinking of JTG and not JT Smith from ECW?
I'm saying JT Smith from ECW.
Yeah, Ed's thinking JTG, I think.
Oh, well, Ed's high right now, so I heard the first initials, and, you know, I heard the J, and that's all I needed to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, watch your switchboard there. You might be getting a call from a 425 number here very shortly.
Okay. No problemo. Yeah. I will keep an eye out for that. I'll keep it kind of low, because I'm sure this person's pretty short.
Yeah.
And we're also, we should, I mean, I'm not going to make a 100% guarantee, but hopefully the last half hour, and maybe even a little sooner, we will be joined by one Mr. Lance Storm.
Are you sure about this?
Yeah, he texted me.
Okay, I was just checking.
I said, what's up, Lance? What the hell? And he said, don't worry, Ed, I won't let you down. No. But no, that's what he told me. He said that he could probably do the last half hour. If he could do more, he'd call. Okay. It's a shame we can't get him on at the same time as the other guests, so we could interview him in front of the other guests, and he can see for himself that we always do better interviews than Lance Storm than he ever could.
Yo, thanks for blowing our cover there. Anyway, yeah, that's what we've been able to muster, two of our regulars for the week.
Well, one of them hasn't been on for quite a while.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, did you see that MCA died today from the Beastie Boys?
Yeah, what did he die of? I haven't heard that. I just, you know, everyone's saying how he died, but what the hell happened?
Well, he's had cancer for a while, and he died of cancer today.
Oh, seriously? I didn't know that. I didn't know that. That's a shame, because the dude was pretty young. I mean, he wasn't much older than me.
47.
Which one was this now?
Adam Yount from the Beastie Boys. He passed away today from cancer, unfortunately.
He's the one that looks like is he the one that looks like Booger from Revenge of the Nerds?
No.
I know one of them, dude.
Okay. Well, it wasn't that one then.
Okay.
I got to see the Beastie Boys in '94, actually, and they were pretty. Pretty amazing. They actually played, you know, all their own instruments and stuff. And yeah, put on a good show.
I would follow this like a special. It's one of those, you know, it was on Travel Channel. It's one of those shows that gets you to go to Vegas. And they were talking about the Blue Man Group in particular. and they're interviewing the Blue Man Group, and they had them in and out of paint, so they're actually talking to the Blue Man dressed normal. And they said that one night that the Beastie Boys showed up for the show, and they came to meet them before the show, and they asked if they could actually go out in their place. So they agreed to it, and they painted the Beastie Boys blue. They went out there. I don't know if they did the whole show or if it was just, like, you know, a part of it. But, yeah, they went out there and did their own thing and, you know, and pulled it off. And everyone thought that it was the original Blue Man Group, but it was actually the Beastie Boys. But we're actually getting a call from somewhere. So let me go ahead and put them on the air. Caller calling from area code 618. Who's this?
Yo. What up,
yo,
man? It's the Sniper Main.
Hey, what's up, Sniper? What's happening?
Hey, I just wanted to say happy anniversary or whatever it is, the 200th episode of the Drunk Cast. Always and forever will be the Drunk Cast to the Sniper Main. I don't give a fuck what you're calling it now. But I just wanted to say happy anniversary to you because I could remember about 2-3 years ago, you were one of the first radio shows I called in. And, you know I called you a faggot and I called you this and I called you that. But over the years, you have definitely earned the respect 100% as a real motherfucker to the Sniper Main. So I just had to give you credit as being one of the top radio personalities that the Sniper listens to and enjoys. Also a Facebook personality.
Well, cool, Snapper. I very much appreciate that. And it was actually more than, it was actually almost 4 years ago on episode 3 when you called in to terrorize myself and that pussy Derek Bergman.
Yeah, maybe it was. You know, I've done things in the past, Ed, that have affected the memory. So, I mean, I know you understand where I'm coming from, and I hope that one of these days you can kick the habit like the Sniper Main was able to do earlier this year. I know you still engage in the illegal activity, but, you know, it's better for your overall physical well-being and health if you were to give up the smoking, man.
Okay, well, I'll concentrate on the weight first, and then I'll move to the smoking. I get overloaded with too many things at one time.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I understand what the struggles of the fat man, and I got a lot of respect for you because you don't even fuck around. You are who you are regardless of what people think about you, and that's what has definitely earned the respect of the Sniper because you just don't give a fuck. You throw the double fingers in the air, and you know, man, you have been providing free entertainment to people on the board for years now, which is something that I figure that I do consider the self that my I do for free, for no pay. You know, actually, I pay to be a part of the board. You pay to be a part of the board. And, you know, you have put out this entertainment for years now. So my hat's off to you. And I just wish you a good anniversary. I hope you go get fucked up tonight. Maybe get you some pussy. You know what I'm saying?
That sounds like a plan to me.
Hey, God bless you, and fuck that midget Brian Alvarez. I'm out.
All right, take it easy, Sanford, man. We'll talk to you later. I'll never forget the first time he called in. It was episode 3, and he just unleashed the venom of the Sniper Man, and it was actually pretty awesome. I mean, even though he was calling me a faggot and a piece of shit and all this other shit, all I could do was laugh my ass off. But,
you gotta love a man that refers to himself in the third person.
Cool. Yeah, well, Cypher's always cool. Didn't he call into your show with Tony Couture?
Yes. And took it over for about 45 minutes. After he called in, he said, "Yeah, I'll call back. I gotta fix something to eat." I said, "Okay, I'll fix something to eat." And he called back.
That's cool. I'm not on Twitter, so I sound like I follow anyone really on Twitter, but I remember there was a thread on the board that was basically the best of the Sniper Man's tweets, and he actually had me considering going on Twitter because he was actually pretty funny. In fact, they even started talking, they would talk about his tweets during the live ROH pay-per-views and stuff. So He's always been pretty cool.
Did he? I thought he retired. He's gone for a while, wouldn't he?
He comes and goes. He does what the WWE should do with John Cena. He takes him off TV for a few weeks and then or a month and then brings him back on
the board a bunch of times the last like couple of months and nobody's talking in caps. And it kind of stuck out to me. So should we
talk about the pay-per-view that we watched last week?
Sure.
Yeah, in fact, I was actually gonna go to work, but at that day of the pay-per-view, I was like, fuck that, I ain't going to work.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't. That was a pay-per-view, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. Of course, it was awesome. It could have been slightly better, but their own stubbornness, kind of took away from that. And I'm not even talking about the main event. It's like they have this idea they want to push the big guy, the white redhead big guy, when it's obvious that the other guy is 100 times better in the ring and everything about him is 100 times better and is more over than the big, goofy white boy. But, you know, he's not big, so of course he has to drop out. But it was still an awesome match.
I'm hearing an echo.
I was, but I'm not now.
I'm hearing the echo now, too.
What's going on?
Uh-oh. I don't know. I'm not sure how we should hear it.
Live radio, everyone.
Okay, I don't hear Craig echoing.
That's because I have an iPhone.
And I have an iPhone right there. It's you, Chair. Why don't you call right back in?
Okay.
and if it's me, I can call. I can hang up and call back in, and you guys can carry the show. Don't get scared and hang up like last week, 2 weeks ago.
I was by myself. I got frightened.
That was funny because I saw your name pop up like 2 or 3 times, like boom, boom, boom.
Well, I didn't hear anybody, so just kept calling.
Hey, Trey, are you back? You know what?
I'm back.
There he is.
All right, well, I'm going to have to hang up and call back so you guys carry the show.
Okay, we'll start talking about the show. Extreme Rules was this last weekend, and it started off with a pre-show match on YouTube. If you didn't get to see the YouTube feed of the pre-match, pre-show, whatever you want to call it, it was awesome. The feed was awesome. The match itself was fine. But the feed was awesome. It looked very professional, and it looked good. I hope they do this more, possibly with Ring of Honor events. But in the pre-show match, we had Santino Marella defeating The Miz. In a singles match for the WWE United States Championship. And like I said, it was fine. He hit him with a cobra.
I didn't see it.
Okay. Moving right along.
Okay.
Randy Orton defeated.
I'm back. Is it still an echo?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Let me take out my headset.
There we go.
All right.
In the first match.
Trade back.
Well, I don't know what's going on, but go ahead and continue, Craig.
Okay. In the very first match of the pay-per-view proper, we had Randy Orton defeating Kane in a Falls Count Anywhere match. It was fine.
Yeah, wasn't nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I actually didn't see like the ho-ho match, but it was they were working pretty hard. It was enjoyable.
Fair enough. Match number two was Brodus Clay defeating Dolph Ziggler in the coolest finish I'd saw all week.
Yeah, he headbutted the shit out of him.
Well, Dolph Ziggler sold it like he did. But yeah, it was a great finish.
You know what? Maybe it's your phone that's got the echo, Craig. Maybe it's not echoing you, but echoing us.
No.
Why don't you try calling back real quick?
Oh, sure, why not?
Hey, well, you know, you guys have to expect something like this is going to happen on our 200th episode.
Yep.
And the Echo is gone. It was Craig's shitty iPhone.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
Okay, I thought it was my headphones. Let me plug them back in.
Yeah, now I can plug my headset back in. Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
Guess whose phone was screwing up the show?
I have no idea.
Your iPhone.
Nah, I don't believe it.
I do, because the Echo is gone.
Oh. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, that sounds good.
Yep. You and Matt
Clary.
That's
our question. It is tough now, so let's continue.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
yeah,
him and Matt
go.
Clary need to get some droids.
Dude,
I got an
droid you're
looking
for.
Perfect.
Match number 3, Cody Rhodes defeated The Big Show in a tables match. This finish is pretty awesome, too, when Show stepped off the apron and crashed through a table.
That was the best finish ever. I love that finish. That was fucking fantastic.
I just love the look on his face.
Yeah, it was so priceless. Like, ooh, am I going to get called for this? Yeah, anyway. Next up, we had Sheamus defeating Daniel Bryan in a 2 out of 3 falls match. This match was awesome.
Yeah, this was great. I think this was the best match out of these guys have had in WWE so far.
Well, I'll even go so far to say is Daniel Bryan was awesome and Sheamus was along for the ride.
No, I wouldn't say that at all.
I did.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he sucked. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, but if you look at what they did in that match, you see how every single tiny, tiny little thing Bryan Danielson does is awesome. And he was.
I think overrated, but whatever.
Well, you know, not everyone can be as good as a worker as Mark Henry. I'm sorry.
Well, and that's tough, you know. Not everybody's going to be as good as Mark Henry. You're right.
Yeah.
The fifth match on the show, Ryback defeated 2 jobbers. I didn't see this match. I went and grabbed a soda.
I'd like to see any ass jobbers back.
On pay-per-view?
I don't like me no different.
These dudes were awesome, man. These dudes were awesome. These were like the 2 most awesome jobbers since the Mookie Brothers.
And the colleagues back there on the monitor is fucking laughing at him with Santino. They don't get more entertaining than that. He says, somebody better call their mama.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said something about calling their mama. I couldn't make it.
I didn't even know that. Now it's even funnier.
I just love the way. Khalid's got this music. And his only way to dance is just wave his finger in the air. That's all he does. I just love that for some reason.
He's talking
like the older dude at the nightclub. You know, just got his finger waving in the air.
Right. The sixth match on the show was CM Punk defeating Chris Jericho in a Chicago street fight. I thought the match was fun. I think Punk looked absolutely ridiculous in his homeless gear. But, it was a good match. I was
finally glad to see a street fight with people wearing street clothes. I was watching something from 85.
Punk looked very clumsy in this match, but he almost died falling off the ring post as he was going to go through the table. He almost fell off the turnbuckle, which would have been comical on many levels. But, it was good. It was a good match, though.
Sister was the best performer in the match.
Okay.
Chris Punk would probably be an overall better performer if he actually would stop being a pussy and stop trying to do the straight edge gimmick and actually do some drugs. You know, he could take something that make him stay awake or keep him or make him go to sleep, so he wouldn't have such baggy ass eyes and look like a fucking drug addict anyway.
I mean, somebody should just hit him up to go to sleep.
That'll work, too.
Or maybe some cucumbers on the eyes. I've heard that takes bags from underneath your eyes out. I've never seen a man that doesn't do drugs look like such a stoner.
I know, right? I mean, for all his talk about being straight edge, he looks like the biggest drug addict on the whole roster.
Yeah.
Look at the outside of his body with those tattoos.
He looks right. like he should be in the 80s sitting next to Kerry Von Erich with a heroin needle in his arm.
Wow. Surprise coming off of the Bella's matchup. Layla actually coming back defeated Nikki Bella to win the WWE Divas Championship. This was a nothing match.
What? There's nothing with the Bellas in
it.
Nothing match. Anything involving the Bellas is 5-star. It's a shame that they decided to leave, and it's a shame that they could have got one awesome last angle with them before they sent them on their way. But no. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Layla, and I'm happy to see Layla back. But they should have just had Karma come out and kill him, put an end to a year-long storyline. That was it. And their outfits were nice, but they really should have wore the camel toe outfits if it was going to be the last time. And, you know, it's a sad day for me knowing that I'll never get to see the Bellas again on WWE.
Well, you'll be happy to know that Rob Feinstein has booked them on one of his wrestling convention shows, so you can go get an autograph from Nikki and Brie.
Well, at least they don't have to worry about Rob trying to hit on them.
Well, there is that.
I want Lyko to come back. I miss Lyko.
I don't think Michelle McCool's coming back anytime soon.
Oh, no.
They were awesome, though. They were awesome.
She got ice on her, take her down for a year so we can have another match.
Right. She's got a job to do. And in the main event, John Cena defeated Brock Lesnar in an Extreme Rules match. I loved, loved, loved this match just because I haven't seen anything like it for years.
I don't think I've ever seen a WWE match like this. I can't recall.
All I know is there were shoot fucking MMA elbows in the first minute.
Well,
and that had me just with my mouth open going, wow.
Yeah.
I like this better than Undertaker Triple H.
I did too, actually.
Yeah, I got it. It was an incredible match.
Because you always had that fear
that, you know, that Brock wasn't actually going to win. So I think that actually added to the atmosphere of the match in a way.
And the stuff with Triple H and Undertaker is mainly stuff we saw him do the same stuff the year before. So, and the stuff with Brock, you ain't seen that, something like that in like years and years. So I like this match better than that one.
Yeah, I thought it was a great match. I mean, the blood is so, you know, they haven't used it in such a long time. It really meant something. I just loved the match. It was so good.
Brock almost dying when he jumped off those steps. I thought he landed on his head.
First it looked like he landed on his head, then it looked like he blew out his knee. So it's like for a minute there, I was like, oh, shit, there goes all that money gone in one match.
Yeah, it was. There was a weird silence throughout the whole match in my living room. Usually people are kind of loud or going nutty watching something like that. But
no, this was such a great match. I would not have Brock lose, but I don't have much complaints about this match.
You know, I didn't have a problem with Brock losing either, as long as they followed up.
And really, today, when I think back to that match, I don't remember John Cena winning. I just remember Brock Lesnar kicking the shit out of him for 99% of the match. That's a 6-out compound.
Yeah.
And another thing, like when Brock was killing him, he was doing it with shit that looked legit, whereas Cena had to have his hand wrapped in a chain and then had to do the FU on the step. So it's like, you know, it's not like, you know, Brian says he won clean. He did not win clean. You know, he had like, you know,
as far as the rules went, he won clean, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, so I mean, and like I say, the things that I remember the double leg, I remember the elbows, I remember the kamikaze suicide dive over the top rope, I remember just all the time, just Brock Stations almost all the time, even when he was all bloodied up after the chain shot and was getting out of the ring, he was awesome. I mean, Brock Lesnar just was phenomenal in this match.
You know, there's only a few people, like, in the company now that they can... I can't see many people in the company being that competitive against Brock. Like, some said, like, I want to see Brock and CM Punk. I can't buy CM Punk getting in any offense on Brock Lesnar. for some reason.
He's too small. Too small.
Yeah, he's
been like real.
Maybe I could buy Daniel Bryan just because of the way he works. You know, with the
They could do kind of like a different version of the Kurt Angle Christian Wall when they did the amateur wrestling.
Yeah. Or even the Undertaker, I could probably buy him too because he's the Undertaker, but he's in all that MMA stuff. He knows how to do that stuff. So.
Yeah.
And Triple H, I can buy him against Triple H. Guys like that. But anybody else? No, I don't think so.
So you wouldn't buy him against Hornswoggle?
Well, that's an absurd
thing to say. Well, he's stoned.
One more thing I want to say about the match is, and some people are, we're all talking about how Brock killed him, but you have to give Cena credit for just being an awesome babyface in peril. I mean, he got his ass, he took an ass kicking, and he did a damn good job taking that ass kicking.
Most of it was real, so he didn't have no choice. I love when he took the chain around his legs and just hung upside down from the ring post. That was awesome.
That was one point in the living room downstairs when everybody groaned because I said, "Whoa, a real ankle lock."
What was that? What was the reaction in your living room at the finish?
I don't know because my jaw fell agape and I looked at Brian and he looked at me and goes, "I didn't do it." Yeah, that's true. You didn't do it.
But my God, I'd never been so entertained by wrestling on the internet than this past week after Brock lost his first match. My God.
Yeah.
That's like 95 threads of this Brock bullshit up on my board. You can't even find a decent topic to talk about. You got to see all this Brock bullshit. I don't care. It don't make no difference to me. I don't know what's not.
Yeah. Our next story, I don't really want to comment on it. I don't really even want to read it because I don't know if it's legit. The headline just reads, Brock blows up backstage after pay-per-view. I've heard it was a shoot. I've heard it was a work. I don't know which it was. So I don't really want to talk about the story. So if you guys want to, that's cool.
Well, I think the gist of it was Brock was upset because he was Sunderland in – they told him that Cena was going to go out on a stretcher after the match, even though Cena won. And then Cena cut that promo, and the word was that Brock flipped out backstage. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. I don't know.
I think it was a little of both. I'm sure he was pissed off, but I'm sure he put on a show because, let's be honest, the man has no fear of anything. The man went into an octagon that had a freaking giant-ass Bud Light on it, and talked about how he was going to go drink a Coors Light because Bud Light won't pay him. So he's not afraid to piss people off, and if acting like a fool will piss people off, I can see him making more of a big deal than it actually was, even though I'm sure he probably was a little PO'd at it a little bit.
And maybe Cena had the crap kick beat out of him. I don't know. He may have not even known where he was. You know? Sometimes you get like that. I don't know what the deal is. I don't care. I don't know, so that must mean they've done something right. So, whatever.
We're talking about it right now, so it worked, whatever it was.
Yeah, it worked, me. Don't work the people in the back. Yeah, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, I never liked that one.
The people in the back think MMA and pro football works.
Some of them do, yeah.
Well, if they were, they'd probably be entertaining.
Right.
Yes, because football is boring. I just want this out on the air and broadcast live. Dave Grohl just tweeted, Nickelback walks into a bar. There's no punchline because ruining music is not funny.
I like that.
And that joke wasn't very funny either, but, you know.
Who is Dave Grohl?
He was the drummer for Nirvana. He now fronts the Foo Fighters. Amazing drummer, player. Yeah. Yeah, he's a nobody.
You know who Brock was like in that match? Brock was at Ivan Drago in Rocky IV.
Yeah.
He just beat the shit out of him, and then then Cena came up and he got, I love that shot with the chain and looked up and busted him open. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
I absolutely love that match. It was just, like I said, so different and so unique, and I hope they don't do one like that for a while.
I would have had Cena do the show with the chain and the FU, but I'd have had Brock kick out and then F5 him on the steps and get the win. What I'd have done.
Yeah, that would have been badass.
Definitely. Shall I move on?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Last weekend, there was an extreme reunion of the old ECW guys, another reunion show. This one was actually put on by Shane Douglas, and it turned out to be a disaster. Shane Douglas' Extreme Reunion promotion ran their debut show in front of 2,400 fans at the National Guard Armory in Philadelphia.
Well, you do got to give him credit for that, because that's a big-ass crowd for a little shitty indie event.
Yeah, absolutely. Before the show began on Saturday afternoon, TMZ tweeted that Sabu was being sent to the hospital after being found unconscious in his hotel room. Justin Credible had tweeted a picture of Sabu looking awful earlier in the day, and ironically, when he himself got to the building, Credible fell asleep and in not-so-good shape. Sabu OD'd on cocaine, if you didn't hear the story.
Is that what happened? I didn't hear that.
Oh, well, maybe I should just broke kayfabe. Sorry, Brian. Credible, who kept begging to be put back on the show. And by the way, there's an amazing picture of Justin Credible, just absolutely snockered. Probably on pills.
Real quick, it's amazing all the wrestlers that you find out are doing cocaine lately. And that's all I'm going to say.
Imagine what you got to do to get thrown out of an ECW show because you're fucked up.
Actually, it's not that hard to imagine because, let's be honest with you, there are grudges held in pro wrestling, and sometimes they will be taken out on someone 20 years later. And let's just remember who PJ's friends are.
Yeah.
And who is running the show.
Yeah, I know.
And any excuse to kick him out.
Don't doubt the dude's fucked up. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going to have an ECW reunion show and you're going to go to an ECW reunion show if you're a fan, you have to expect that the guys are going to be fucked up because they were fucked up back in the day.
You should expect if they're going to be fucked up, they'd at least be in the ring.
Yeah. Well, they're not as young as they used to be. They get fucked up. They just don't have the energy to get to the ring anymore, you know?
Or to buy new tights. Did you see the state of his tights he had on?
Yeah,
like a woman with ripped pantyhose.
Anyway, to go on with the story, it says Credible, who had been begging to be put back on after he was pulled from the show, midway through, walked through the show and walked through the crowd to make sure the fans knew he was there. Apparently, this is an old school gimmick to try to get the fans upset with the promoter and not the worker. He did not wrestle. The main event saw Shane Douglas, originally scheduled to wrestle Sabu, take on Scorpio, in what was described as Scorpio working his butt off trying to save the match. But the crowd heckled Douglas, chanting refund. Douglas also used Sabu's being unresponsive in his hotel room as heel heat, which the crowd did not like. Sabu ended up checking himself out of the hospital the next day. The rest of the card featured mainly old ECW guys in matches with Jerry Lynn versus Devin Storm. Scorpio, Storm, and Lynn were all mentioned as being among the few who were still real good workers at their age. They also ran a couple of angles, mostly involving CZW guys.
They also had one of the greatest chants of all time at the show.
What was that?
When they were asking Jerry to please save the show.
Well, if there was one man that could do it on the show. Now, where was I? CZW guys like Ruckus and Saban attacked the gangsters and Raven coming
out with a new flock. They were scheduled to have a video on demand available the next day for download, but shockingly, the show was not ready for public viewing yet. And to top it all off, Axl Rotten fell asleep behind the wheel on the way home from the event, resulting in him having a car accident where he broke 8 ribs.
Jesus Christ.
That's horrible. So, basically, they got the band back together, and everybody went nutty and partied, and this is what happens.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I mean, they still pulled in a giant crowd, and I'm sure they actually made some money. But
I heard,
not like a lot of money, but like for, I'm sure they actually, for an indie show, I mean, compared to what other indie shows pull in, I'm sure they made some money there. But I don't know. They just need to let it go. They need to no longer, if they're going to have some kind of easy ECW thing, it can't be matches. It can't be matches. It's got to be a fucking banquet dinner or, you know, just a signing or just something, you know. Just,
didn't that whole style seem out of place in 2012?
Yes.
Seems like we're past all that now. I mean, every once in a while, you know, like on the Extreme Rules pay-per-view or something, you want to bring up, like, garbage cans or something. But it just as a whole, that whole style just seems like it didn't have place anymore.
It's weird that, you know, even this weekend last weekend when Rob Van Dam was in the ring, there was like 5, maybe 10 fans chanting ECW. It's just let it go. I mean, even like at the ROH shows, we'll see a couple of hardcore matches or Falls Count Anywhere or whatever, you know, but something with Plunder. And it's okay. And nobody chants ECW at the ROH shows. I guess there is a place for it, but I just like to see two guys go out there and have an athletic competition. I need to see them hitting each other in the head.
This is the guy who's going to kill you with a Pat Raven.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is they had apparently somebody on Facebook had won like backstage pass to this thing. And they said, well, stay here by the ticket takers, and we're going to come get you here in just a few minutes. And they left him by the ticket takers, and they never came back for him.
Wow.
And some people, they said they had promised these personalized chairs that they could take home from, like, after the show. And what the chairs were, they were just ready to steal chairs with just, like, people were putting autographs on the chairs and, apparently, there was a picture somewhere of everybody that left the ring through the chair in a dumpster.
Jeez. It's sad. It really is sad. I mean,
I don't know why people want to spend money running. I don't know why anybody wants to spend money running a wrestling company in the first place. It's just me. Seems like losing
that. Astro Boy said that. I mean, he kind of did his own little. I don't even know if you could call it a promotion. He did it weird. Didn't he, like, I don't know if this is, like, all his shows, but basically, wouldn't he just kind of, like, if a promoter was having a show, he'd call a dude, he's like, hey, I want to have a match that I want to take for my DVD, and basically kind of do shit like that. Isn't that how, like, one of Brian's matches came about? Because it was filmed specifically for release through Sinbad's company?
I'm not sure.
I do have a copy of him and Sweeney and Delirious around here, and I know that's done by Sinbad's company, but I'm not 100% sure how that whole thing went down. But
like the first one, I think he promoted the whole show because that's kind of like in his area. But the other two matches, I think it was like he somehow... He booked Brian's match on the other two shows somehow. Had like a videotape right to that, those two matches.
Yeah, I'm not 100%. Maybe you can ask him when and if he decides to call in. So.
Oh, well, yeah, if he decides to call in, I think he's going to no-show us again. I think he did that the last time he was supposed to be on, too.
Probably. Sounds like something he'd do.
You should call Whitney on three-way and put Whitney on.
No, I'm not doing that. Speaking, I was going to move along. Speaking of ECW, Paul Heyman is headed to Titan Towers. Paul Heyman will be coming to Stamford for sometime in the next few weeks to do an interview for an upcoming Punk DVD release and do alternative commentary for some of the matches with Punk himself. Heyman had also done a similar work for last year's Austin release. In both cases, it will be because the wrestler doing the project was hands-on about the release and wanted his involvement.
You ever notice how CM Punk likes to piggyback on almost everyone he possibly can?
Why not? That's the way.
It works.
I mean, you got to give him credit because, I mean, look at what he pulled off fucking getting his theme song. He's gotten to the point to where, like, he can, like, ask to have, like, longer matches on TV, it seems like, because he's always trying to have good matches, even though sometimes they're a little fumbly. But he's kind of, like, for some reason, it's like he's hypnotized Vince McMahon into believing things that aren't real because, let's be honest, yes, CM Punk had a lot of buzz, and yes, I think he's doing a great job, and he's done a good, you know, had good matches and this and that, but he has not proven to be a pay-per-view draw. In fact, he's in some cases is even a TV. He loses viewers in some segments.
You can't
just blame that on The Miz. I'm sorry. You can't just blame that on The Miz. It has something to do with CM Punk. The smart marks might think he's the greatest thing in the world, but he has not come to the general public as much as they think he has.
I don't have a problem with Punk piggybacking on anything. It bought Brian a great big house in Basel, okay? I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
The successful people do, they piggyback off somebody else.
Yeah.
Tell life.
Yeah. I've been piggybacking off my wife for 19 years.
He just seriously needs to learn how to do that elbow, though. Or stop.
Mm-hmm. He's going to hurt somebody. Like Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Good Lord, his head bounced off. That probably wasn't even his fault, but it did look ugly. He is the worst high flyer I've ever seen.
When the Macho Man did it, his form was like 10 times better, but he still looked like he was killing the dudes. But was he actually, do we know if the Macho Man actually hurt anybody when he was doing it?
I would guess.
Remember, he collapsed Charles Robinson's lung one time. That's when he was
on. Yeah, and he crushed Ricky Steamboat's larynx.
With the bell.
Yeah, well, he had the ring bell with that.
Well, it doesn't matter.
And he almost swallowed his tongue and had to go to the speech class with the children.
Swallowed his tongue.
How did he almost swallow his tongue when he's sticking his tongue out the whole time?
That's what they were saying.
Because that's
the
what the announcer said.
I don't know. Jesus.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I was 12 years old going, that's not true.
And Ricky just kept sitting up on the stretcher. He kept sitting up with the stretcher with his hands around his throat with his tongue in his mouth.
Yeah, sitting by the strap him down.
My favorite was Granny Savage was in the ropes. He got bit by the cobra, and Piper gets him out of there. He gets him on the stretcher, and he says, "Got to get him out of there." He starts pushing the stretcher, and Savage rolls off the side of the stretcher. And Piper's going so fast, he's pushing the stretcher. Got nobody on it back to the dressing room. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Well, there's two of them probably just had an 8-ball before that angle, so, you know.
Maybe it was a stretcher match, and he was trying to make it to the finish line. I don't know.
Oh, man. That was a crazy, crazy show. I'll never forget that fucking Cobra shooting on the Macho Man.
That was awesome.
Looking into business for himself.
Good. Moving right along.
Speaking of The Miz, he was picked. I'll just read the headline. The new star of WWE's next Marine film. Drum roll, please. WWE Studios, The Marine Homefront, will star The Miz, who is replacing Randy Orton as the lead actor in the film. They will tell the story of a Marine trying to rescue his kidnapped daughter from a terrorist. The film will be shot in June for several weeks in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Okay, whoever cast him in this part, it had to be the two casting agents from Beyond the Mat that were casting New Jack.
Like in the Denzel Washington role?
Yeah, exactly, because how could anyone look at the man that they see action superhero? I could see him in a movie as like a douchebag, but as like the hardcore, you know, main dude, I mean, and then he spoke to the Marine. I'm guessing it's a serious character.
Kind of makes me want to watch this movie.
The what?
Playing like the hero kind of makes me want to see this film. I enjoy watching those WWE movies. I don't care what anybody says. I just like the fact that they got these wrestlers in a movie. I don't know, it's weird watching them. Like, so out of play.
I don't know. I just don't know. I think it's ridiculous. I'm tired of these WWE films. There ain't been a good one yet.
Oh, come on. You know you laughed at everything in the commercial for Knucklehead.
I like the Marine. I like 12 Rounds. I thought they were good. I watch wrestling. I'm obviously into stuff that's stupid.
Which one?
I said I'm into wrestling, so I'm obviously into things that are stupid.
Right.
True.
I enjoy watching
that. That Kane movie was awesome.
I didn't see it.
See, I mean, then why do you have this opinion that they were all shitty if you haven't seen any of them, Craig?
They should stick with horror movies, because horror fans will go see damn near anything. It don't matter what it is, as long as it's a horror movie.
And plus, they didn't have to spend any money putting on any makeup or anything on them. They just threw some dirt in his face.
Hmm. No, I tried to watch Knucklehead.
I watched The Chaperone. I liked it.
Really?
Goofy.
I see.
It's all comedy. I don't care what the plot is. Everything's comedy, so I'm fine with it.
Okay. Fair enough. Speaking of WWE news, our next story, there's two matches announced for WWE Over the Limit, which is a mere, 2 weeks away now. Yep. John Cena versus John Laurinaitis.
Attitude Adjustment versus the Ace Crusher.
And we also have CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan, which will be great.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. That's going to be fantastic.
Okay. I'm glad you guys.
Apparently Johnny Ace is really getting in shape. He's working out in the ring and everything.
Hmm.
Johnny Ace is like the greatest character that they've had on TV in I don't even know how long.
They got to do a Bushwhackers run in there in this match. You know... That makes sense.
They should come out.
I would say a Dynamic Dude reunion, which WWE and working with Shane Douglas.
No, they didn't have the Bushwhackers be his flag bearers and they could come out with that big old, with a, like a flag, with the, just that funny picture of Johnny's face from WrestleMania when they had the team. They should come out carrying flags with that and marching around the ring. They could even bring Lady Victoria with them, too.
Come down on a skateboard. That would work. That would rule.
Yeah, and then Luke would kill himself.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, Johnny's the one that carried a skateboard, and Shane was the one that actually rode his.
I always thought it was the other way.
I don't remember. I just remember one of them always carried theirs. It was probably a safe bet. It's easy to fuck them up when you're on a skateboard.
Yeah. This was not on my notes, but there is a UFC show on tomorrow, UFC on Fox. It's got four of the top fights will be Pat Barry versus LeVar Johnson, Flores versus Belcher, Koscheck versus Hendricks, which should be a really great fight. And in the main event, Nate Diaz versus Jim Miller.
Which should also be a great fight. And you got two total opposites in that fight. So
yes.
You'll have one guy with no personality and not doing anything, and you have another guy talking so much shit throughout the fight. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the Fox fight tomorrow. You might even want to check that out there, Katrina. It'd be a good show tomorrow.
No.
Okay, fair enough.
There are. What's amazing is it's almost surprising that this show gets as little pub as it has, because it actually has two very important matches. Because if Diaz wins, I don't see it happening. But if Miller wins, I can see that putting him into the next one or two title shots. And if Hendricks wins, I see that putting him in maybe second or third in line for the middleweight title, or for the welterweight title. I'm sorry. So I mean, it's actually two really big matches as far as seeing where guys stand in the company right now.
I agree.
Oh, goodness. There's also next Saturday, there's going to be a Ring of Honor show. It'll be Ring of Honor Border Wars. We'll talk with Lance about this when he calls in. But we've got...
Maybe call in. Sorry, it already looks like we're going to be 0 for 2
tonight.
Yeah.
We got Jay Lethal versus Tommaso Ciampa. We have Unbreakable Michael Elgin coming off his match of the year just last month. Michael Elgin versus Adam Cole.
I gave that match too hard.
Die Hard Eddie Edwards versus Rhino, who has been brought in by Truth Martini, one of the greatest men alive. We have the Canadian Icon, Lance Storm versus the Prodigy, Mike Bennett.
Wait, does it actually say Canadian Icon?
It does say the Canadian Icon, Lance Storm. So we'll ask him about that. We have
labeling charismatic Lance Storm.
We're actually getting a call. Hey guys, we're actually getting a call. So let me go ahead and put him in the air. Caller calling from area code 504. Who's this?
You know, it's so good that you got rid of that idiot, racist derelict that you had on the phone last week. It's good to have Craig and Trav back.
I'm still here.
Oh, yeah. He's the host, actually.
How's it going, gentlemen?
What's going on, Rodney?
This is Rodney.
Please tell me you're not actually calling to tell everyone that you actually have 6 weeks to live and you're dying.
Look, listen, when you have the chance to be on Brian and Vinny's show and you put those headphones on, you'll have a nervous attack, too. So leave me alone. Don't be giving me a hard time about that.
Yeah, he called in. Leave him alone, Ed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, calling to took time out of my busy schedule, and I'm really not doing anything, actually, to wish you a happy 200th anniversary. And I have three questions. And I'll get off the line.
Okay.
First question to Katrair. Little birdie told me that you were over here in Louisiana. May I ask what city you visited?
I went to Delhi, Louisiana.
Delhi. Oh, okay. All right, because I was about to get
around,
on with you.
It's around Monroe. You know where that is?
Yeah, that's probably a good 4+ hours away from here. I was about to give you a hard time if you came down close to New Orleans and didn't hit me up and let you know. But Delhi, I'm not familiar. And I think they lynch people up there, too. So I don't think that's somewhere I'd be visiting.
They'll lynch you if you act right.
I don't know. I still don't think I'd take my chances up there. So, no, that's all right. So you're forgiven.
Okay.
And, all right, my second question is, what happened to the Latin heartthrob Al Perez? Become one of my favorite guys. Been watching him on Classics on Demand last couple of times. He had the World Championship Wrestling shows on there. So whatever happened to old Al?
I don't know
He got replaced by an even better Perez, Lightning Lou Perez.
Lightning
Lou. I remember the last time I saw Al Perez was, I think he was in WWF, doing jobs or something. But I don't know what happened to him.
Huh.
I know he quit. When he was in the NWA, he quit because he didn't want to do a job for Ric Flair in Miami or something. So he quit.
Well, anyway.
Oh, okay. All right. I was always wondering.
Might want to ask Mike Sempervivi this question. He'd probably have a better answer because that's one of his guys he likes to watch.
Ronnie, did you ever see? Did you ever see him when he was in Southwest?
You know, I've never seen any Southwest, unfortunately.
Okay.
He was in Mid South.
He had like a different look because he didn't have like the long hair. He had like short hair. It was kind of the same up top, but he was short hair. And the only thing I really remember from him is that every time he would get into like, you know how like you get into part of the match where you just start throwing punches and that's when the babyface takes the advantage.
Yes.
He was the only babyface that I ever saw that whenever he would do that would be the one getting his ass kicked.
See, that's funny though, because the only time. Yeah, see, that's weird even imagining him as a babyface. I had no idea about that.
Yeah, well, he didn't look good as one, but, you know.
Remember Dynamite Kid put some M80s in his boots and blew his boots up once. It was in Dynamite's book.
I never heard that either, but, no, I have to. I'll ask Mike about old Al. And my last question is, do any of you guys, like, have any inkling to want to see the Avengers?
I'm going tomorrow.
I'm going to go see it next week in IMAX 3D.
Oh, nice. Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, because I keep hearing, I've seen the previews for it, obviously, and I'm, like, kind of, you know, debating. But this is, like, the first movie in a while that I've seen where, like, everybody's just saying, like, how awesome it is. So I was just curious if y'all were even, you know, into that or whatnot. So that was it.
I ain't going out this weekend. I know that.
It's getting a 92 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
That means it's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll find a link and send it to you on the internet. You can watch it there.
Oh, that's nice. Yes, do that because
I wouldn't be going this weekend anyway. I'd be way too many people. But yeah, definitely. I want to check it out. So.
Cool.
Definitely. All right. Hold on, Ronnie.
Before you hang up, I want to put somebody else on the spot. While you're here on the line.
There we go.
You know, Rodney was planning on not going to Vegas for the longest time. I basically had to threaten to kick his ass on several occasions before he finally decided to come to Vegas. Now, the other day, I was on Facebook. I came across a post from our good friend Craig here to our other good friend Daniel Klitz talking about how he was going to do his best to see him in Vegas this year. And I need to ask, Craig, are you coming to Vegas this year?
Well, as I told Daniel, I will do my best.
Oh.
So
okay, at least that's not a no.
Yeah, I'll do my best. I can't promise anything, but, you know, I've got a little trip planned in November, and I'll do my best to make it down to Vegas for the weekend.
You can miss Pearl Jam 1 year to go to the convention.
No.
No, but Craig, that'll be a nice surprise if you're able to make it down. So
if I can financially afford to go, I will do my best to make it.
I completely understand.
You know, your biggest fan was actually hurt that he had no idea of these plans, you know, and was very devastated when he found out about it.
No, I talked to him. Everything's good. He wasn't devastated. I'm going to see him in November. It's all good.
Okay.
And hopefully,
that'll work out.
And hopefully we'll see y'all in July, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Craig, if we do, great. You know, obviously. And if not, I don't know. I guess I have to make another trip to Seattle up at some point. Probably won't be anytime soon, unfortunately. But, yeah, one day.
I'll have the guest room ready for you by then.
All right, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries.
Hey, Rodney. So, Rodney.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Shoot me your address on Facebook PM. I'm gonna send you some stuff.
All right. Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Why are you laughing, Craig? Now, I trust Katrina to not send me any drugs, gay porn, anything like that. So,
right. Ed would do that.
Well, it's wrestling. It's like gay porn, so.
Well, that's true.
Well, that's a good kind of gay porn. But anyway.
What?
Y'all have a good rest of the show. Say hello to Lance if he calls in for me.
Yeah, y'all have a good night.
You too, buddy.
All right, and I'll see you in a couple months.
See you in 8 weeks.
Yeah. All right. All right, talk to you later.
There goes Rodney, everybody.
And he actually sounds a little more upbeat than he did a couple weeks ago when Contreras thought he was about ready to commit suicide or something.
Brian and Vinny tape at an ungodly hour, all right? Just leave him alone. Anyway, getting back to our rundown of the ROH I pay-per-view, which is next weekend. We already talked about the Canadian Icon. The next match we got is Jay and Mark Briscoe versus wrestling's greatest tag team in a fight without honor for the ROH World Tag Team Championships.
But what exactly is a fight without honor? Doesn't that just mean they don't shake hands before the match?
That basically means it's a hardcore match. It's a extreme rules type match. That's pretty much all it is.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to this one. Our friend Roderick Strong versus the Belfast Bruiser Fit Finley.
Man, I didn't even know about this match. This is going to be a match that's going to be pretty good, and they're going to beat the shit out of each other.
Yes, they are.
And Roddy's better watch it. If Roddy's going to hold back with anybody, it better be Fit Finley, because if not, if he pisses Finley off, he's going to get so stretched.
Yeah, this should be a good match. And our main event is Davey Richards defending his championship against wrestling's worst nightmare, Kevin Steen. Of course, Davey Richards coming off a car accident in Japan, so hopefully he's 100% for this show.
Yeah, Dan Jeffries almost killed Davey Richards.
They're doing the pay-per-views on the website now. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm looking for what exactly they're doing right now. I wasn't 100% sure. By the way, totally rendering my Roku box worthless. Thanks a lot, ROH. Yeah, it looks like it's right on their site. The price is $14.95. I honestly think you can't beat that price for what you get. So they're also offering a 2-disc set of the best of Nigel McGuinness right now, just in case you were wondering.
No, he's overrated.
Oh, jeez. I'm going to start a fight. Anyway, yeah. So,
I'm saying he's not overrated. His girlfriend's not overrated. That chick is hot.
Very attractive.
Yeah. She in the business?
She could be.
Oh.
She could be.
I just wonder if in case I've seen her.
You probably haven't, but
probably not.
She has a look to her. She looks like she could actually, you know, be out there.
And yes, I'm trying to stall for time because, you know, it's 7 o'clock here and Lance is supposed to call in the last half hour of the show and I have absolutely one news story left. And that is very simple. These are the new DVDs streaming right now on Netflix. Yes, right now you can go to Netflix just for a measly $8 a month, and you can watch the best of The King of the Ring.
Yeah, so it's the whole 3-disc set, I think, that on there.
The best King of the Ring of all time is the Mick Foley Rock Double Turn.
The what?
The Rock McFoley Double, was that a King of the Ring?
I don't think so.
No, that was just a tournament, wasn't it?
You might be pulling a Craig.
I might be.
Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Survivor Series.
I like the first King of the Ring was the best one with Bret Hart. I thought that was the best one.
There's nothing wrong with that.
He beat Razor Ramon, Mr. Perfect, and Bam Bam Bigelow.
And Austin 316, of course, born at King of the Ring. So
yeah, but that wasn't the best King of the Ring as far as matches. I mean, because the main event was Stone Cold against Jake the Snake. I mean, it's just memorable for after the King of the Ring, you know?
Right.
I bet you the most memorable match for King of the Ring is Hell in a Cell with Foley and Undertaker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was, I mean, if there's ever a holy shit moment, that was it.
Definitely. Definitely. The next one we got is Ladder Match 2. This one is called entitled Crash and Burn. This is a complete 3-DVD set that was released just last year.
I'm sure there's some good shit on there.
Okay. Randy Orton, The Evolution of a Predator. Probably the best of Randy Orton, so I'm guessing.
No, it's a documentary on his career.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's awesome. And I watched it the other day. It's actually pretty damn good.
To talk about him running away from the military?
Yeah, it talked about that. Talked when he overdosed and almost died.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about all the tattoo problems and stuff like that.
Did he talk about training with a school teacher, and that he gave the school teacher the same move 100 times on videotape?
I don't know what you're talking about.
He was trained by this school teacher, who was a shitty wrestler, and then became a shittier podcast host.
We saw the appearance on this documentary, the appearance of his actual wife, not the other three women that he's had been married to the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
It is some good stuff. They show a lot of that behind-the-scenes stuff, like in... He's with his daughter, and they're talking to John Cena and catering and stuff like that. I like shit like that for some reason.
Hmm. Did he talk about his love for marijuana?
Nuh-uh.
No. He was on one of our morning radio shows, and it was like he had just gotten back from his first strike for, being tested for weed. And
for being tested for weed, right?
Whatever. Anyway, he got in trouble for smoking weed, and he told the story of being in the bathroom in one of the stalls smoking a J and got busted, okay? And he told this story, and...
Is this at WrestleMania?
He didn't say.
Okay, I think it was probably.
This was a couple of years ago that he did this, maybe even 5 years ago. I just remember the interview, and he was talking about what's the big deal, smoking on Earth, and blah, 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 and, you know, just expressing his love for the ganja. So you and him have something in common, Ed.
That's cool. Now, speaking of weed and, like, him calling a non-WWE radio show and talking about weed, one of the greatest things that the WWE ever put out, and very few people know about this or even heard it, was, you remember they used to do on the website, they used to do like a little, Bite This. Remember Bite This?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they had, at the time, it was being hosted by like Tom Pritchard and maybe Kevin Kelly, I'm not sure. It was Tom Pritchard for sure. And they had The Godfather on, and they had... I forgot who else on, but almost the whole show, The Godfather and Tom Pritchard are talking about smoking weed and getting high, and it was one of the funniest things I ever heard. It was just so awesome, just them talking about, like, the Godfather would be like, telling Dr. Farm, you know, Dr. Tom, you know how it is, you just want to smoke that weed and get all high. It was awesome. It was a WWE-produced fucking radio show.
Didn't something happen with the Heartbreakers on there is what got Bite This shut down?
I don't remember that. So.
It did some kind of homosexual thing on there. And he got the whole damn thing shut down.
Oops.
Who's the teacher? Matt Stryker, when he imitated the Ultimate Warrior, and they said, what's your secret of your success? And he said, steroids, lots and lots of steroids. Right there on the radio.
That was pretty funny.
Tremendous.
When Grissom was taking calls and somebody called in and said, why is WWE more like TNA? He said, well, why don't you go watch them, you retard? It was a bunch of shit.
Huh. Good stuff. We also have the Stone Cold Steve Austin, the bottom line on the most popular superstar of all time. a 2.5-hour documentary on Stone Cold.
Yeah, I started watching that last night. Good stuff.
Good.
When are they going to get a good DVD like the new Glow DVD that's coming out, the Glow documentary?
I don't know. Whenever I need a new coaster for my drinks.
How dare you, dude? Don't you want to hear about Ivory's rise to the top of Glow as Tina Ferrari?
Oh, yeah. They didn't even have belts. They just gave her a sash for a championship belt. Or a tiara.
And a tiara. Don't forget the tiara.
Don't forget that.
Like the NWA Junior Heavyweight title belt on their head.
Do you remember Hollywood Couture?
Nice.
Hollywood and Vine. Hollywood and Vine.
Those are tag teams.
Yeah, Hollywood
remember
is
Mount
still
PG?
Fine as shit. I'm friends with her on Facebook, and that chick is one awesome looking cougar right there.
I remember Mount Fiji.
Unfortunately, Mount Fiji is in a wheelchair, and I saw photos from a reunion. Mount Fuji's in a wheelchair. Matilda the Hun's in a wheelchair, and I think even Big Bad Mama's in a wheelchair.
No, those glow skits will wear you down.
What about that chick that broke her arm and they showed 100 replays of it?
Little Egypt?
Is that who it was? I don't know.
If I'm thinking of the right one, it's Little Egypt. And she also is a very hot smoking cougar on Facebook. And
yeah,
she tells much funnier jokes than you do, Craig.
Doubtful.
I saw a picture of Dark Journey the other day. A recent picture.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, the road has over her.
I remember when Spider beat up Sting over her and stuffed his head in the toilet. Sorry, continue.
We also have The Rock, The Epic Journey of Dwayne Johnson. This is the 2011 documentary on The Rock.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but I plan on watching it. Sounds like some good stuff.
And the last one that everybody should check out, WWE's Greatest Rivals, Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart.
Yeah, I remember trying to do a show about that. It was like the biggest 3-week debacle of all time.
We had one guy on that hadn't seen it. First week, I hadn't seen it. And the next week, Semper Vivi hadn't seen it. And I don't know.
But it was an awesome DVD, that's for sure.
Yeah, gosh, we do great shows. Yeah. Yep, good stuff. And with that, that's all the news I got.
I watched a movie this week.
Okay.
I watched The Human Centipede Part 2.
Oh, disgusting.
This is the most vile thing I've ever watched in my life.
You didn't know that going in?
This is something that is somebody put this, made this film just to make somebody vomit.
Did you vomit?
Well, no, but I mean, there's somebody did that didn't have it. I mean, I almost vomited when I watched that Two Girls in One Cup thing, but not the other. And this one, you got this little butterbean looking fella. It just looked like somebody that's like the picture of what you figure one of these geeks on the internet sitting behind a keyboard, like in their Fruit of the Looms all day and all night. And just disgusting looking. And he's obsessed with the first film, so it's like a film within the film. So he's obsessed with the first Centipede movie. And so he makes these plans. He kidnaps these 12 people. And he has no surgical training, so he just straps their mouths to somebody's rear ends using duct tape and a staple gun. And so then he has it's like he's got 12 people. One of them he's off to the side that he thought was dead, which was a pregnant woman. So she's off to the side, and he thinks she's dead, but she's not. And so he's got everybody, and now he's wants the big scene where everybody starts feeding everybody, you know. And so he gives a syringe and gets some laxative and injects everybody with the laxatives. And being such a ghetto job, like stapling these people's lips to the other person's rear end, like so. So when the big shit storm comes, you see shit flying everywhere. And It's actually pretty disgusting. And then the pregnant woman, she goes into labor, and she gets up and she runs out. She locked herself in a car. She's going to escape. And she's locked herself in the car, and she starts giving birth right there in the front seat. And so the baby plops out, falls on the floorboard. But she's so eager to get out of this situation, she turns the key and gets it all cranked up and gets ready to get out of there. But unbeknownst to her, the baby has slipped under the accelerator pedal. So when she guns when she tries to go in reverse and guns the accelerator, dead baby. Squished it.
Sounds like
quite awesome.
Yeah, sounds like an Oscar winner right there.
Yeah, it
this
won't
film was gross.
Yeah.
You know what, Craig? You won't ever see this movie?
I'll never see this movie.
This is why when you hear how bad it is, it's one I gotta watch for myself just because I was told I shouldn't watch it.
Did it live up to the expectations?
Oh, yeah. When they said this was going to be wall-to-wall gore and just being disgusting, yeah. One girl was making too much. She's screaming too much, so he just goes and pulls her tongue out. And he has to slice open their rear end so get everybody's faces attached. So that was cool.
I don't know. I think you have issues sometimes.
Well, I mean, it's on there. It's on Netflix. And said, I'll watch this. I always like a good disgusting movie.
Excuse me. Oh, well, what else you got on the plate there, Craig?
I got nothing. I'm done. I've read everything.
You know that a good radio host can improvise, you know.
And why
are
you
improvisation?
You're the host.
What would you like to talk about, Ed?
Like, sure, he just improvised and talked about the freaking Human Centipede 2 for like 10 minutes.
I'm not talking about it.
I'm just trying to put you on the spot and trying to help you become a better podcast host, you know.
Yes, I'm the one that needs help.
Hey,
I only wanted to keep
improvise.
I only wanted to keep these things in an hour and a half, and you're the one.
2 hours.
Well, there was also the chance that we were going to have clips, but that didn't happen. And then plus, Lance could only do like the last half hour, so you know.
Well, less is more.
Sorry, I had been busy, and this first time I've been at home all week, so I had not had time to do clips. I apologize.
Yes, that's what I had planned. I said, you know, hey, let's get together, let's do some goofs, you know, that have happened over the last 4 years. We'll play some clips, talk about some old shows, talk about some old guests. I guess we can talk about that. Ed, what is your favorite guest that we've had on our show?
That's actually a pretty hard question because there's like different aspects of why someone would be my favorite guest. And I guess I might have to say, really, when it comes down to it, it would probably have to be Bill After.
That was a good one.
Just because, you know, reading the magazines for so many years, and then, this wasn't on the air, but like when I called him, I'm like, you know, hey, he answered the phone, I'm like, hey, how you doing? My name's so-and-so, we're going to interview you now, and so-and-so, and he's like, oh, you don't have to tell me who you are. I know who you are. And when Bill After tells you that he knows who you are, it's kind of like if there's ever like an oh, what the fuck moment going on in my head, that was it. I mean, that kind of blew my mind. But other than Bill, I loved it when we had Larry Madison on the show. He's like, if I could ever pick my grandpa, it would be Larry Matisic, just so I could hear him talk and tell stories forever, because he was awesome. And it was pretty awesome when we were the only free internet podcast that ever got WWE talent, as in Alicia Fox and Evan Bourne 3 times, including Christmas Eve, and that was awesome. it was awesome when we pulled out the trifecta when we had Telly, Baby Doll, and JJ.
Yeah, JJ was probably my favorite.
Which one, Telly?
JJ was probably my favorite.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, JJ was good. We should actually get him back on because we didn't even get to the WCW part of it.
Yeah.
Who else? I'll never forget Al Snow yelling at Contreras. That's got to be one of the best moments of his show.
Oh, and I grinned from ear to ear when I was reading that Extreme Reunion rundown and said that everybody fell asleep during the Al Snow match. I was bored shitless.
Yeah. That was awesome when Al went crazy on the show. Austin Aries is actually, we probably have the only interview for Austin Aries was breaking kayfabe the whole interview.
Mm-hmm.
Which even Brian Alvarez couldn't get because he was kayfabing on Brian's show. And that was awesome being able to get him to do that. And then we also made an agreement to smoke a joint live on the air at WrestleMania, which we ended up doing, which is cool.
One of my favorites for just an odd reason. And you guys probably wouldn't expect this from me, but I really loved our interview with Johnny Fairplay.
Yeah, that was good.
It was better than the Brian one after he had the nerve to have him on the show at the same week as us.
Yeah. He was different on our show than he was on Brian's show. He was more reserved, but he just, talking about... who he slept with, who he didn't sleep with. He talked about wrestling a little bit, and it was just a different interview than he had on with Brian. And
did you just say who he fucked with? Is that the first time you've cursed?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay,
I didn't say that at all. Anyway,
are you sure? Because it sounded like you did to me. I have to go back and replay the show.
Okay, go ahead.
If so, I'm going to put it in the song in the beginning.
No, okay.
But I can see why he got divorced. His wife is one of the most unlikable people in the world. If you remember her from the Tough Enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how she was on Top Model.
Well, she was attractive.
Not really.
Well, I was being nice, but yeah.
You can make anyone up that hard enough with makeup.
True.
Yeah.
Very true. Yeah, we've had quite a few guests. I mean, we run every week, but been kind of unaddressed though lately. I take some responsibility for that. But.
One of our most downloaded shows would be the very first Lamp show, which we also had Jimmy Jacobs on the show before, and I just remember we had I just remember Peach had a panic attack because we were trying to introduce Lance Storm and Jimmy Jacobs kept interrupting and asking if he was still on the air.
Jimmy actually worked a match. He, called and then said, hey, I'm going to go work this match. I'll call you guys right after. And he went and worked a match real quick and then called us, as soon as he was done.
Yeah.
Speaking
of that, I almost forgot about when I interviewed my good personal friend, Daniel Bryan. That was an awesome show.
Yeah. That's Lance show. That was the first time I ever got to talk to Lance.
Yeah, the first time you ever talked to Lance was on here after trying unsuccessfully many times on call-in shows with Brian Alvarez. He failed three times and we delivered chair to Lance on the first try. So it's another reason why we're better than Brian's show.
Yeah,
what are you going to do?
And then, of course, we've also had some moments where... I guess it's more me where I'm kind of crazy and cut giant promos on people. Like the whole dragon incident from WrestleMania. When we got no show by crazy good buddy Gabe.
Yeah.
And who else? I don't know. I'm sure I've got a few other.
Well, not everybody can have their life revolve around your show, Ed.
That's true.
They need to.
And he lied. He lied on Brian Alvarez's show. He tattletailed on me and he lied. But anyway, he had a chance for greatness to be on our show, and he passed it up. So, oh well.
And by the way, you can check the archives of for all these shows if you want to check out any of them. Definitely go back and listen to the JJ and Tully Blanchard, and any show we've done with Lance, I think was good.
I gotta tell a story about the Tully Blanchard one. On basically, the way we got that interview is I called in a favor, which I actually don't like doing, but especially with this one guy, because he's such a cool dude, and I don't want to take advantage, but I called in a favor. I called Brian Fritz. I'm like, hey, man, can you hook me up with Tully? Can you, could you pass an email along or something, or can I get an email address, something like that? And, of course, I get a text with Tully's phone number, and I'm like, dude, are you sure that it's cool for me to call? And he's like, yeah, sure. So all I got to say is a few of the most scariest moments in my life were when I was dialing the phone to call Tully Blanchard and had to introduce myself and explain myself to Tully Blanchard. I was shitting bricks the whole time, but he told me, like, I kind of gave him the idea when I wanted to do the show. He's like, okay, well, call me back next week and remind me. I called him back next week to remind him, and I could tell that he totally forgot about it, but he was so gracious enough to do the show. But, yeah, I mean, I've never been so terrified about calling somebody. I mean, when I call somebody for the show, I know that they're expecting me to call, and they've already agreed to it, but just to call somebody that I grew up watching, one of the first wrestlers I ever saw wrestle, and someone who's like, he's a man of God now, but back then had a reputation of being an asshole. Yeah, I was a little scared.
Yeah, it was like when I called Baby Doll to set up an interview.
But yeah, that was a good interview with Baby Doll. And then Missy Hyatt had to try and ruin it for us by by adding her to her figure for a daily appearance. Yeah. And someone needs to pass not me, because she probably won't even read it, but someone needs to pass her a message and say, hey, she needs to have a make good deal, because it's the one time where she didn't make the show. Hello?
Hello?
You there?
Yeah, are you there, Trey?
Yeah, my phone's acting weird. Either that or my connection's weird.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I remember emailing her for you and trying to hammer out the situation. You've noticed she hasn't ever been on our show.
I remember that
because
she agreed to do the show, but she's like, don't advertise me or I won't do the show. So thank God we didn't advertise it. She called in and...
It's like all these stipulations. It's like a fucking extreme rules match.
Yeah, no,
I know,
pressure,
right?
Either.
This person on the show.
Did you get that email too?
Yeah,
no contrary.
No contrary.
I think I had to apologize for saying something about her and Jason Hervey. I don't know.
Oddly enough, she emailed me yesterday.
I did gotta say, she sent me a very nice private message when my father died. So that was very nice of her. Yeah, at least I need to get old Missy on the show. If anything, just to make Brent Sherman happy.
I like when she says Granny's a racist. That was funny.
Oh, yeah, Granny got pretty pissed off about that, didn't she?
Stop calling me a racist. That's what she said. When we get,
It's been like 2 years, and you promised you'd get Jim Cornette on the show.
Who?
Ed.
Oh, me? Well, say, not me.
That's great.
No. No, no, no,
no, Ed, because you met him at WrestleMania or something.
Ed. Yeah.
Well, that is true, but Craig's the one that's supposed to send all the emails out. But.
Well, I do send emails out, and I can't help it if they don't get back to me.
We'll get Jim on one day eventually, someday.
Sure. Sure, as soon as we get a better vehicle for our show and, you know, we get better audio equipment and get a little studio set up here in the house and, you know, yeah, one of these days.
Yeah, one of these days. It might happen.
Yeah, 4 years, been doing the same thing.
He's hinting that you could sure buy some better equipment.
Yeah.
What, like, I'm in charge of Blog Talk?
Yeah.
No,
like,
but, you know, you could buy all the stuff for Skype and be in charge of everything and do all the downloads and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, let me go spend all my money.
Better than my money.
Yeah, better than my money. I got a Vegas trip I got to save up for, man.
In case nobody's noticed yet about this show, this show sucks.
That's part of the charm. The charm.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm just saying, let's not make it have to be more than it is.
It would just still suck with better audio quality, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Our audio
Craig
quality
don't know
is that bad.
I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. I'm pretty smart about some stuff. But overall, this is quite the community show.
We don't have that crazy noise that comes out on the Wrestling Observer radio shows when someone's trying to call Dave.
That's because he's getting an email. Or he's getting a phone call.
Maybe somebody calling in to do some putovers.
I wish they would take call-in shows every week so they could have these knuckleheads call in and just have everyone on the board fucking be appalled and act like it's the worst thing in the world and just go crazy. Because that's some entertaining shit right there.
I need to call in and ask if Dave's there and what the topic is.
Right. You get these Dutter Joneses and D Wolves.
Dutter Jones. I love that name for some reason.
I wish they'd take phone calls more often. I mean, it'd be awesome.
Well, the time they do the show is when all the crazies are out.
Yeah. And I like how his Brian's dumbass called his wife instead of Granny yesterday.
Well, that would happen. I hadn't listened to our shows in a while.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't bring up Granny's first comment on the show.
I hadn't listened to the Brian and Vinny show in a couple of weeks.
Wow. Surprised Craig didn't bring up this comment either.
What's up?
What, the first thing Granny talked about on the show last night?
Boobs?
No, Granny didn't talk about boobs. Whitney talked about
boobs. Oh, that's right. That's right. My bad.
I'm actually surprised I didn't get a live call from here in San Antonio of someone bitching about me for breaking her chair. But luckily, I've been saved, and I don't have to tell the story because I think our guest has finally decided to had the time to join us. So, caller calling from a computer line or Skype, who is this?
Hey, Ed, this is me.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on? Is this you, Lance?
No, unless Lance turned English and he lives in Texas.
Oh.
This is Matt Cleary. This is not Lance Storm.
Matt. Damn it.
You totally ruined my show.
How excited thinking Lance finally is saving the show and we get Matt Cleary. What's going on, Matt? What's happening?
I can be super serious if you want for a minute.
Sure you
can. My joke is going to be, is Dave on the line and what's the topic? And you totally ruined it, Ed.
No putovers?
I was going to put you knuckleheads over, and then Ed said the word knucklehead. So now I just sound like a complete clone. But I just got back in from eating dinner, so I've heard none of the show yet. So if everybody's been kissing up to you, then I guess I'll be one more. And if I'm the only one, then that proves something too. But I just wanted to say that you three guys, for most of the 200 episodes, have been really, really great, and I've enjoyed listening to you guys.
Thank you.
And that's the only time I'm going to praise you, Ed. But turn.
All right.
So far we have 3 serious listeners. Great.
Hey. Yeah, 3 hey. People. That's almost a conspiracy.
I'm getting a text here. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Are you expecting Bob to call in?
I got. Hold on. You guys carry the show for a minute. I have to text the phone number.
I see. No, we're expecting Lance to call in. Of course, I was expecting Brian to call in, but none of that happened.
He even hinted that he was going to call in, that bastard.
And you got me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. We had you. We had Rodney. Sniper called in.
Oh, Rodney called in. Cool.
Yeah. Sniper was.
I need to hear Brian talk again. He'd been whining on audio all week.
I can talk about LSO over him if you like.
you can talk about how you and Craig are coming to Vegas.
Yeah, okay. What's up with that, Craig?
If I got the funds, I'll go.
All right.
Plain and simple. I mean, don't tell me you don't want to see that fight live.
So here's the thing. I do want to see that fight live, and right. I don't want to sound all defeatist. But I saw
right.
Chael beat up Brian Stan in Houston. I heard the big pop, and I'm worried that Anderson Silva will figure out a way to beat him again, and we'll all leave out of there all deflated and not happy.
And then we'll be in another state.
Exactly.
Man, I hate to cut you off because I know that you are Craig's biggest fan in the whole world. But,
yeah.
We are getting a call from another computer line, and I think I know who this is. So if you want to ask him a question, though, I'll keep you on the line for a minute.
I'll keep quiet. Get the real main event on.
Okay. Cool. Well, caller calling from computer line or Skype. Who is this?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Lance.
This is
Brian,
Ryan. The show. The Canadian
icon.
Sorry, I'm late.
It's been a hell of a day.
What have you been up to, Lance?
I've been having airport pickups to pick up some guys that are coming in because classes start on Monday. But the road to the airport had a 4-car pileup, and a drive that should have took me 20 minutes was taking me more like 2 hours.
Good times.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Yeah, is it snowing up there?
No, it's actually quite nice.
I noticed you had some snow just like a week or two ago.
Yeah, the weather's always up and down here, but it was shitty last week, but it's nice today, so.
Well, that's good. But, Lance, our most important question that we have for you today is, how did you come up with the nickname of the Canadian icon?
I never have. Didn't even know anyone used it for me.
Yeah, ROH is billing you as a Canadian icon, Lance Storm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, news to me.
So do you like it? Do you give it the thumbs up or the thumbs down?
I think icons is a bit much. If you wanted to throw that on Bret Hart, I'd be okay with it. And I think Sting even took exception to the icon name because someone called him on. He's like, it wasn't my idea. So I think it's a bit much. It's like when people call me a legend. I'm like, well, I don't know about that. But, again, call me what you want. If you want to come out and see me wrestle, then come on out May 12th in Toronto for Ring of Honor, icon or not.
So the Canadian icon is half right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And at least by being the Canadian icon, standards might be a little lower, so maybe I do qualify.
Now, you're going to wrestle Mike Bennett again, and We and Craig had the opportunity to see you wrestle him live just a few weeks ago down in Florida. Are you excited for the match? Or, I mean, I'm sure you are.
Well, I'm not one that tends to get excited about too much, especially ahead of time. I'd certainly say I'm looking forward to it, and I'm ready for it, but I'm not one to get excited, especially ahead of time. I've got other things on my plate until then, so I'm just hitting the gym, training hard, and letting my brain and body prepare for the 12th of May. I think my biggest goal is having a match quite different from the first. I don't like having cookie-cutter matches. I remember back years ago, probably 2002, there was an instance where I wrestled Rob Van Dam on Sunday Night Heat and Raw the very next day, and got a lot of positive feedback in that the matches were completely different. So I hope it to be as good, if not better, but I want it to be completely different.
And at least this time you can actually manhandle his second, since I hear he's not bringing Maria, and he's actually bringing Brutal Bob with him this time.
Yeah, although I'd like to think if you were going to manhandle one or the other, Maria would be a hell of a lot more fun.
Well, I'm sure she would be, but unfortunately, you know, you might take some criticism for beating up a woman compared to beating up an old man.
Oh, beating up. Okay, I wasn't clear on what you meant by manhandling.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want you to get you in trouble with your wife, so, you know, that's what I meant.
Well, exactly, but she doesn't listen to your show, and she's not coming to Toronto, so there you go.
There we go. Hold on, Craig. Speaking of your match coming up, Lance, are you gonna? Please tell me you're gonna go back to your awesome tights and get rid of that singlet you had on, Laura.
Oh, please.
I am wearing long tights. I don't know if they're the ones you consider awesome or not, but I don't have a lot of my old tights left. So I'm not going out and, you know, dropping $100 on a new pair of tights for, you know, one or two more matches. So I've got a couple pair of long tights to choose from, and I'll pick the ones that I like the best and wear those on the 12th.
There was nothing wrong with those.
And if they don't meet with your approval, then too bad, Ed.
There we go. Were you invited to the Extreme reunion?
Yes. Shane Douglas reached out to me quite a while ago, sent me a text and made me an offer, and we played phone tag forever. Eventually ended up talking with, it wasn't him, but someone else that was running it with him to talk about details and what was actually planned. But I obviously passed on the project, and in hindsight, I'm certainly not regretting it.
Now, obviously, you know most of those guys. You're friends with most of your guys. I'm sure you've heard the stories. I mean, what's your opinion? I mean, do you think they should just stop and never do another ECW show again? Or, I mean, what's your opinion since you're a part of the past, you know?
I'd be happy if they stopped doing ECW reunions. I turned down the one that TNA did. Obviously, partly because I had no interest in being on a show run by Vince Russo, but also because I enjoyed high school, but I don't want to go back and relive high school. And I enjoyed my time in ECW, but I have no interest in going back and trying to relive it. I moved on after ECW and was very happy with how things went after ECW. And, you know, One Night Stand in 05 was a really great reunion. But I don't want to keep doing them. And as all of us get older and older, it's going to be harder and harder to live up to it. And while there's, you know, might be a few of us that can still, certainly not all of us can. And it's, you know, I think it's sad to go back and do a reunion if it can't live up. And I think, you know, One Night Stand, for the most part, did. It was a shame Rob couldn't have been on the first one. But other than that, you know, I think the first one was great. And I really think we need to remember ECW for what it was and how we enjoyed it, but probably don't need to keep rehashing it. You know, if they wanted to do a new promotion or a new show and have similarities, but use newer and younger guys and put a new twist on it, and again, don't call it ECW, but just do something else, then great.
Or how about if they just had like a convention and not try actually putting on the wrestling show?
I think that could be a lot of fun, because there seems to be interest in the fans. So if there was the chance to sit around and chat and maybe even do a bit of a, you know, roast type thing where the guys got up and talked and made a bit of a reunion convention. And so it wasn't just a rummage sale where we all tried to hawk merch, but actually, you know, had the guys get up and speak and tell stories from ECW. I think that would be really interesting and fun. But, you know, considering the, what was there, two car accidents after the show and the Sabu and Just Incredible incident during the show, you know, I think we all need to grow up and move on.
Do you think that, that you know, the extreme style that ECW is known for, you think it's kind of out of place in 2012?
I think a lot of people have lost touch with what ECW really was. That it's, you know, again, because everybody's, oh, it's that hardcore stuff, hit people with chairs, and it's like, you know, some of my fondest memories of ECW, you know, again, there was some Malenko-Guerrero matches that were really great, or,
yeah,
you know, Chris Candido and I put on some matches, and Jerry Lynn and I put on some matches, and, you know, Mikey Whipwreck and guys put on matches that weren't any of that hardcore stuff. They were just guys working and having really good wrestling matches, and I think that's what, unfortunately, is getting lost in the ECW memory, in that, you know, I think that was Paul's genius in that, you know, he had the high-flying crazy luchadors. He had great mat technicians and wrestlers like Dean Malenko. You know, if I can put myself in that same category, I don't know, but same ballpark at least. You know, and then Eddie Guerrero and, you know, and all of those. And then, again, you did have some of the bigger brawler types. And you had Sabu, and then you did have, you know, the Dudleys and, you know, Balls and Axles and some of the crazy hardcore stuff that, you know, ECW was so much more than that. And with, you know, ECW reunion shows or even just people trying to relive ECW, it was a lot more than just hitting people in the head with chairs.
Yeah, it's
basically
it's
something for everybody on the show. You know, like for every fan, it's something for everybody.
Yeah, you know, they tried to appeal to, you know, everyone that wasn't getting what they wanted from, again, WWE or WCW. If you wanted brawling, you got that. If you wanted blood, you got that. If you wanted great technical wrestling, you got that. If you had high flying, you got that. You wanted really hot chicks, you got that, you know. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people, oh, it's extreme. It's like you got to go out in blood, guts, and hit people with chairs. And it's like so much more than that.
Yeah, I just meant like more like, you know, they had like Axel Rotten and Balls Mahoney at the show the other night, and they're still doing the chair shots to the head and all that crap. So,
yeah, I think if the individuals themselves aren't willing to smarten up, I think somebody needs to put their foot down.
Yeah.
You know, with, you know, we've had enough problems in wrestling, and now they're getting them all in football. And, you know, I think unless you've been a victim of countless chair shots to the head, you should be smart enough to realize that there's some kind of connection here, and damaging your brain is probably not a smart move. You know, with the, you know, the death tolls that we've seen in wrestling, and I read an article, I think it was from the Associated Press, that the Junior Seau guy was like the eighth or ninth guy from his 1994 football team that has died before 43. I think we really need to get smarter than that, and I don't care if fans want to relive it or if that's the only ECW-esque thing they can do anymore. It just needs to be stopped. It's not worth it in the long run. Even those of us, you know, like myself, who were fairly smart and shied away from getting waffled in the head as much as possible, you know, I'm noticing my memory wasn't what it used to be. I can't even imagine those who have, you know, 15 and 20 concussions.
What do you think about guys like Brock Lesnar and in the match with John Cena? You know, those are some pretty stiff shots there.
Yeah, I didn't get to see the match, so it's pretty hard to comment. I certainly believe you could elbow somebody in the head and cut him open without concussing him, but certainly still you do want to be somewhat careful, and there should at least be a, you know, strong likelihood of nobody getting concussed or hurt when you do stuff, even if you do want to make an impact and the guy's willing to do it. You know, this is, after all, supposed to be a work, and it's supposed to be a show, and we don't need to be injuring anybody for a little bit more entertainment, I guess.
Yeah, just noticing that, you know, that well, even though you didn't see it, the chain shot that Brock took, I mean, that'd take a hell of a hard one because it split him right, like, immediately wide open. So.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it wasn't intended to, you know, Brock didn't say, hey, go ahead and hit me and make it look good and don't worry about it. I'm hoping that it was, you know, at least somewhat of an accident. But, again, I have no idea. I've always been such a supporter and fan of the guys that can make it look good and not get hurt. You know, Fit Finley being the kind of guy that, you know, everybody sees as legit and, you know, grimaces when he hits people. And, you know, I've worked with Fit so many times and never once felt sore at the end of the night. And, you know, I'm reminded, too, of the one match I had on Raw with William Regal, where it was probably a decade ago now, and I still get people asking me, you know, what made Regal so mad to beat the hell out of me? And it's like, dude barely touched me. You know, neither one of us stiffed each other. No one got hurt. The nosebleed that he got was from he was still suffering from a nose problems and would get nosebleeds sitting in catering. He eventually had to have surgery to get his septum fixed, but it wasn't from me touching him, and he certainly didn't touch me anywhere near the, you know, anyone thought, and nothing hurt. It's just, you know, some people are that good, and I think that should be our goal rather than just, hey, brother, give me a good one.
Were those nose problems, was that when Edge broke his nose? Didn't Edge break his nose or something like that?
The original nose problem was Fit Finley.
Oh, okay.
And it was a case of it was an uncensored pay-per-view in WCW
where
they were told, the blade is banned, but if you guys could get color, go ahead. And they're old-school tough guys, and Regal said, well, just pop me a good one, Fit. And Fit told him to grit his teeth and punched him right in the nose and broke his nose.
Real quick, everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the Streamer Show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. I just want to get that out of the way real quick. Now, speaking, you're talking about, you know, being wrestling someone who you probably want to be to feel safe wrestling as opposed to someone who is not safe or careless or whatever. You've wrestled Abdul the Butcher, and I'm sure a lot of people, you know, have a perceived idea of Abdullah just being, you know, a bully and taking advantage of people. And how actually was it working with Abdullah the Butcher since you actually did it?
I actually really enjoyed it. I worked with him in Japan, which would have been late 90s, maybe mid 90s, 96, 97, and did probably two or three single matches and a few tags. And he was a total professional. Like, obviously, I had to work to his style and brawl and fight. He wasn't taking hip tosses and arm drags from me or anything. But he was certainly a pleasant enough person to travel with and work with, and he didn't hurt me at all. He actually called a monkey flip, and I gave him a monkey flip once. I just remember him saying, give me a monkey flip, champ, and I'm thinking, really? And I had remembered seeing Pillman give him one in WCW once way upon, you know, in maybe 91. I'm thought, oh, maybe the guy goes up light. And I gave him a monkey flip and just about pushed my knees through my chest. But I got him over. It looked more like a rolling cannonball than a monkey flip, but I managed to monkey flip Abdullah the Butcher.
Now, were you ever worried that if you didn't get enough color yourself that he might decide to do it himself?
I wouldn't say worried, but the first time, again, I don't remember. I think we had two single matches, one of which he got color and one I did. And I remember the night I was told to get color, and he posted me, and I thought, I better get a good amount because I don't want him to think I didn't get enough and try to get more. So I got a decent amount of color, and Abby didn't say anything, and we got in the back. He's like, man, I didn't realize you were that good at, you know, getting color. And I'm thinking, well, it's not really a skill. It's just a willingness. And I didn't want to not get any and have him think, well, this isn't enough. And, again, I don't know if he was equipped or not to have me get more. So I just made sure to do a reasonable job for myself. And he thanked me afterwards. And then, again, I think the second single match, he was the one that got color. And he certainly didn't balk at doing that. And I never had any problems with Abby.
That's cool. Go ahead, Craig.
I was just going to throw out before our time ends, I was going to tell everybody to check out stormwrestling.com before our live show actually ends. But other than that, you said you're picking up some students from the airport this week, and I've been in a wrestling school once or twice, and has there ever been a kid that you just, on the first day, you just had to tell him to go home?
No, I haven't shipped anyone home the first day, although I've had people quit the first day. No, I've never, actually I shouldn't say that, there's been one or two that I've convinced early that, you know, hanging around is probably going to just push your luck and get you injured, and this probably is not the wisest career choice for you. So I have talked to a few people. I haven't actually said, you're out, get lost. But I have made people come to the conclusion they really needed to on their own early. But most guys manage to finish.
No Steve Austin type promos on a kid burying him on the way out, I take it.
Not usually, no.
Okay.
I have cut a few promos on people in the middle of a class when it was required, but not too often.
Fair enough.
Now, you said you're coming from the airport. Where's everyone coming in from? I mean, how many people are coming from overseas?
I'm not sure entirely, because I'm booking several classes in advance, so I never keep track of where everybody's from. But so far, I've got a guy from France, Ireland, three Aussies, two Americans, as far as internationals, so far that I know off the top of my head. I think I've got a UK guy, too. I haven't actually looked through the list. I've got a jam-packed full classes session, so. But unless I'm picking them up at the airport, I don't really keep track of where they're from until I sit down and do their paperwork and so forth. But, yeah, I've got at least five countries, probably six this session. And I've got a jam-packed class. I've got two girls in this class, both Aussies.
What's your average as far as, like, growth percentage in the class? Because I would imagine it's pretty low, but you've actually had some success with them.
Yeah, I don't know what a percentage would be, but I've had, what, three, four? I've probably had 10 to 12 girls go through in the 6.5, 7 years I've been doing it. So you're looking at, what, say, 20 sessions, maybe 18 sessions and 10 girls. So I'm averaging less than one a session, but... So probably in the neighborhood of about 5 to 8% of my students are female, if I had to guess with some quick math off the top of my head.
Okay. Now last time we saw you was once again a WrestleMania. But you besides the match with Bennett, you actually went to go see Edge get inducted into the Hall of Fame, and you actually got name dropped in his a speech. And can you tell us any stories about just from the Hall of Fame being backstage or seeing anybody?
I think the coolest or the weirdest thing is, again, we met at the hotel and then we all got bussed over to the arena. And it wasn't particularly organized, or maybe it was and I just thought it wasn't, because I didn't know if I'd be sitting with all the talent or whether, you know, I was there as one of Edge's guest list. So I didn't know if the families and stuff sat somewhere else other than the main roster. And they gave us actual tickets for our seats. And they had, you know, seat number, aisle or whatever, and then they had a floor. And, you know, I had, like, floor six or whatever it was. And so I'm backstage with all the guys. And I'm talking with William Regal and different people, and I'm looking at their tickets. And they're, like, floor one, floor two. So I don't know whether I'm supposed to be in an upper deck somewhere because it's in the airlines arena. But we're all just in one spot, so I'm nervous that I'm in the wrong spot. And then they start ushering us in, and I'm like, oh, man, I hope I don't come out in the wrong spot and have to, you know, look like an idiot. Like, what are you doing here? And so I'm waiting in line. And as we're just getting to the floor, I look behind me, and sure enough, it's Stephanie and Linda. And So I said hi to them and chatted with them briefly, but I'm thinking, okay, Steph and Linda are going to have way better seats than me. I shouldn't be here. And so I was really nervous that, okay, I'm going to get out here and have to come back and go up to another balcony or something. But as it turns out, we were all on the same floor. They just had little groups, and I actually ended up sitting directly behind Steph. I was, you know, dead center in the second row right behind Linda and Steph, so I was in the right spot. And ironically enough, at WrestleMania 20, when I went to the Hall of Fame in New York, I was sitting right behind Linda then, too. So I'm officially supposed to sit right behind the McMahons when I'm at the Hall of Fame.
So what were you thinking when Ed brought you up and told the story of the suit?
I popped. I laughed because it was just, I think, the day or two before that I had texted him that I was... having to get a new suit to come down. And I even joke with him that Jericho needs to retire before this suit gets retired, because I'm not buying another one. So Jericho needs to retire and go into the Hall of Fame while I can still use this suit again. No, it was really great, and I popped when he mentioned me in the suit, which was kind of funny. And I had a really great time. I was glad to be there for him. Got to see his mom again, which is always nice, and got to see a lot of the boys. So it was really good, and I don't know what all made TV, but the DVD is definitely worth it, because it was a lot of really great speeches, and it was a really fun time.
Yeah, you didn't make the TV, unfortunately, but they did show you on the screen. Me and Ronnie we actually popped ourselves, because I don't think it's probably the first time we've ever seen you smirking like that before.
Smirking. It's my smile. Cut me some slack.
I thought the Hall of Fame was incredible, as far as, like, it didn't seem to have the time limits as before. What did you think of the whole thing?
I thought it was really good. I thought it moved along at a good pace. And for the most part, you know, the speeches were either, you know, really good, or even the bad ones, if you want to say bad ones, weren't that long. So it wasn't too bad. Mil Máscaras, stood pretty still, and with a mask on, you couldn't really even see him moving. And a lot of his speech appeared to be in Spanish. So I certainly wasn't overly entertained with his, but, you know, the man deserved the spot, and he kept it relatively short. So it was certainly, again, if you compare it to the WrestleMania 21 that I went to in New York, that one seemed really, really long. And dragged somewhat, where this one, I didn't find it dragged at all, and I really enjoyed it. I thought JBL did a great job opening it up, and I thought Edge did a great job wrapping it up. And the DX thing in the middle was so funny, I was in tears.
Yeah, they were great. But you just brought up Bradshaw, and I'm sure a lot of people remember years ago that there was, like, a report that there was an incident between you and Bradshaw might even have been at the Hall of Fame. How do you and Bradshaw get along now, and how much of that story was just blown out of proportion?
It was WrestleMania 21, and yeah, there was heated words. He was certainly more angry than I was, but, you know, I've known John since 95, and we had one day where there was some heated words. We've both moved on. I've talked to him and traded a message with him on Twitter and stuff, and we are both cool, and we're kind of sad that we didn't manage to actually connect while I was there. I almost did. I was talking to a couple fans, and I caught him out of the corner of my eye at the hotel heading through, and I tried to catch up with him but didn't in time and missed him. But any heat that was there wasn't for a long period of time, and it was blown out of proportion, and both of us have moved on in our lives and are on good terms.
Didn't they come out of, OVW when some students were telling students about how to deal with the locker room or something like that? Is that what it was?
I don't know exactly, but, yeah, it was when I was on OVW. I had said something to the students that was stooged back to John. I don't know if it was stooged accurately, and I said something that offended him, or whether it was stooged inaccurately. That's the gist of what it was, that he had heard I said something that he took offense to, and got hot and voiced his frustration, and again was mad at me for I don't know how long. But we were friends far more than the time that we were mad at each other, and we've both realized that it's in the past, and we get along good and actually communicate on Twitter now and again.
So he didn't try to take you to Wrestler's Court or anything?
No. Actually, it might even have been a Wrestler's Court comment that was taken in, out of context as well. I remember, I don't remember who it was, but it was one of the developmental guys got taken to Wrestler's Court over something that was stupid, and he came to me for advice. And I told him that I thought Wrestler's Court was dumb, but that he needed to do what they told him to do, because that's just the way it was. And I think someone stooged back that I had advised him to ignore Wrestler's Court because it was dumb. Which isn't what I said, but of course the rumor mill and the grapevine is not the world's most accurate source. But at the end of the day, it was a blip on the screen, and he and I are cool. He's actually doing a lot of great things in Bermuda with kids and stuff, and doing a lot of really impressive stuff.
Yeah, I got him on Facebook. I see that he's and he looks in pretty decent shape. And I mean, he cut one hell of a promo in introducing Ron. I mean, I wish he'd come back, honestly.
Yeah, he's doing a climbing seven summits, seven mountains around the world to raise money for kids. If you check him out on his Facebook, you can actually donate and help raise money. And he coaches kids to play rugby in Bermuda, and he's doing a lot of great things. So
that's cool. Trick,
you mentioned.
Go ahead, Craig.
You mentioned meeting a couple of fans at WrestleMania weekend, and you actually had a booth set up at the ROH shows. Is there a vast contrast between WWE fans and ROH fans?
I don't think so. I think at the end of the day, again, the ones that I deal with are Lance Storm fans. So, you know, if anything, I find fans are more different geographically than by brand, in that I find Canadian fans are a lot, you know, different from American fans, as are different from British fans. More so than necessarily Ring of Honor fans or WWE fans. I think most Ring of Honor fans, even if they prefer Ring of Honor style, are also WWE fans, because at the end of the day, they're wrestling fans.
Right.
So I don't find it different show to show as much as country to country.
Do like ROH fans ever, do any of them ever come up to you and start talking to you and saying Lance Evers instead of Lance Storm?
Not usually. Although I did get a kick out of, I think it was at the Ring of Honor show, that when people come up and, you know, remember, oh, I remember the great matches you had with so-and-so, and it's somebody that I know for a fact I've never wrestled. or, again, you know, I really liked your stuff. Oh, I had a couple fans saying that they really love my stuff in TNA, and I'm like, oh, great.
Ooh.
And it's like, I've never wrestled there before. So that's always amusing.
Now you actually got
to meet Anderson's wrist tape or something like that. That's what they saw you. What would Lance Storm do?
that would be it. Yes.
Okay. Wow. I just forgot the question I was about to ask. Craig or Couture, go ahead.
Hey, Lance. You know, everybody, especially like on the internet and like a smart fan community, they always talk about, you know, kind of knock the WWE Hall of Fame, you know, for just for the guys that they put in. But what do the guys actually think about it? They get put in? Do they take it really seriously?
I think a lot of them do. And I think because there's so little legitimate validation in our sport, that I think most of the people in the business crave that. You know, there isn't legitimate stats and, you know, Super Bowl rings and, you know, different sort of awards and titles that are legitimate. So I think they do put a lot of stock into the Hall of Fame, and especially those who legitimately deserve to be there. You know, when somebody like Steve Austin goes in, again, if you can argue that there's people in the Hall of Fame that perhaps don't deserve it, but Steve Austin is a legitimate Hall of Famer in the wrestling business, and when his peers gather to tip their hat to him and he gets to, you know, go out and sum up his career, I think it is important to him, and I think it was important to Edge. And again, I've been critical of some of the choices they've put into the Hall of Fame, but, you know, when Edge was going in, it's like I felt it was important enough that I wanted to be there for my friend. Where, again, because it is wrestling, you know, if you're not in the Hall of Fame, I'm not going to go, oh, well, you didn't have a career because you're not in the Hall of Fame. Or if, again, I believe James Dudley is dead now, but we'll use him as an example. You know, if I were to bump into James Dudley, I wouldn't start bowing down and go, well, this is a Hall of Famer here. We got to show him respect. It's like, well, from what I understand, he was, you know, a limo driver that got Vince coffee. And in the same regard, if I ran into Bruno Sammartino, I'm not going to go, well, he's just a jobber. He's not in the Hall of Fame. It's Bruno, for crying out loud. And, you know, Bruno deserves my respect certainly a million times over than James Dudley. So in that regard, the Hall of Fame may not be the be-all and end-all, but I think, you know, for the most part, we know those that are unquestionably deserving of their spot there, and when they go in, I think it has some legitimacy and means something to them, and probably should.
And in a lot of cases,
I got a question. Speaking of the Hall of Fame, you went to a show with Brian where no offense to you, Lance, but Brian, to me, made a very stupid, asinine comment about saying that he thought you were better or more deserving candidate than, say, Tito Santana. And as I say, no disrespect to you, Lance, but I think you're great and you're awesome. But, I mean, that just made me think to myself, that's a stupid question, Brian, or that's a stupid comment. I mean, what were you thinking when Brian said that?
Well, I've used Tito Santana as who I would consider a comparable person in that, again, we were what I would consider journeyman, talented workers that held all of the minor titles but was never the world champion. And, you know, you could argue, and I'm certainly not going to argue against you, that, you know, he had a longer run or what have you. But I think the differences between Tito and I are more differences in our generation more than our place in the business. Now, granted, I probably got out younger than he did. You know, so if anyone wanted to be blamed for perhaps me not achieving Tito status, if you would, it would be my own fault for cutting my own career short to be home with my family. But I would think that in an overall stature of the business, and again, probably if you talk to Tito's peers and heard them talk about Tito, and then you talk to my peers and had them talk about me, I wouldn't be surprised if you got a lot of the same type of comments as far as, again, you know, a good worker that you'd always have good matches with, you know, he was a great, but again, wasn't the main event guy. So I think we're probably at a very similar level. I'm certainly not saying I'm above Tito in any stretch of the imagination, but I think our overall place in our respective time frame of the industry was probably fairly similar.
That's fair. Go ahead, Craig, or whoever was trying to add the answer.
Go ahead, Couture. I got one last one. You go ahead first.
I forgot my question when Ed interrupted me, so never mind.
Okay. Here we go. Kevin Nash has been quoted as saying, you know, in the business you can either make friends or you can make money. How do you still have so many friends?
I guess I didn't make any money.
Well, that's according to him, yeah. But
although it's I understand the concept behind it, but it is kind of silly in that, you know, again, he talks about, you know, it's not about making friends, about making money, but then he'll talk about his 15-year friendship with Triple H and how, you know, Hunter and Shawn and those guys stuck together. I think it is the it comes down to that when you're going to be the guy, like when Steve Austin was the guy, you can't be worried about making everybody else happy. Where, you know, when it came time to, you know, hey, Steve, we want you to put Brock Lesnar over that one time, you know, Steve legitimately looked out for what he thought was right for business and for money, not with, well, I should be a good guy, I don't want to offend anybody. So I think if you're going to be that guy, and I don't think there's probably ever been a that guy in the business, especially more back in the era when the main guy had to draw, you know, be it Ric Flair on top or be it Hulk Hogan on top or, you know, even probably Steve Austin on top, where there weren't some people that weren't weren't that big of fans of them, in that, you know, I've heard stories of, you know, people thinking that, you know, Flair protected his spot and, you know, kept them down or whatever. I know Scott Steiner is way back when in their WCW days accused Flair of, you know, cutting the legs out from under him. And I've heard other people, and again, as much as I love Rick and I've heard great stories about him too, but I've heard of people saying that, you know, Flair was a bit of a politician and so forth. And I think, you know, to hang on to that spot, he probably had to be. And I would imagine Hulk Hogan, to an extent, had to be and looked out for number one. And so I think that's where the line originates, that if you are going to be the biggest fish in the biggest pond, you are going to, at some point in time, lose a few friends. You can't be too worried about being Mr. Popular, or you're never going to hang on to that spot because someone else will take it from you. But I don't think money and friends are mutually exclusive by any stretch of the imagination.
There's also
all those guys were on top, Flair and Hogan. I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah, they were on top a long time, and there's always people that want, you know, to get that spot. So there's always going to be competition, especially when it isn't a true sport. You know, then there's going to be political competition because you have to convince the decision makers that no, you really should leave the title on me, or again, this guy's too old, you should give me the shot, or this guy's not good enough, you should give me the shot. There's always going to be a degree of that. And when you are the top guy or the, you know, the decision-making guy, you're going to step on toes at some point in time.
There's also, what was that Buddy Rose thing that you brought up a couple weeks ago?
Buddy Rose? I don't remember.
Not Buddy Rose, Buddy Rogers. The make friends with your enemies so you can make money with them.
Something like that. I remember those, some kind of Buddy Rogers quote. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Anyway, Kutcher, go ahead and ask your last question before we wrap up here.
You know what, since everybody else, I know you haven't seen the match, but overall, I mean, just what do you think about them putting John Cena over Brock at the pay-per-view?
I certainly don't agree with it. I don't think it's the be-all and end-all and death that some people predicted when it happened. I think fans and opinion makers, if you will, tend to panic and overblow things in either direction. I certainly wouldn't have beaten Brock, but I even wrote a commentary, which is up on my site, sort of what I would do now that you have, and I think it could lead to good business, sort of mimicking his UFC career. And I think that was my biggest point, that people said, oh, they've killed Brock as a draw. And it's like, he tapped out in 90 seconds in his first UFC fight, and he managed to draw just fine. It is possible. But, now they have to rehab where, you know, he was probably white-hot before, and now he's just lukewarm and needs to be heated up again. So it was certainly a step back, but it's not like you can't get where you need to go probably still. It's just going to be a lot harder.
Okay. Craig, do you have any last questions?
No, I just wanted to, again, plug Lance's site. That's stormwrestling.com, and he'll be wrestling next weekend at Border Wars for ROH Wrestling. And you can check that out on iPay-Per-View. Starts at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Should be a good one. He'll be wrestling the Prodigy Mike Bennett. Also, as we said before, Rhino's on the show, and so is Fit Finley. So, Lance, you can look out for those two guys.
Yes, great plugs, Craig. Thanks.
Yeah, and my last question, Lance, is, of course, I'm going to have to put you on the spot and ask, so are you coming to the convention this year?
Probably not. I'm extremely backed up and busy, so I don't know for sure, but I would guess not, unfortunately.
Wow, that's a shame. I'm going to get you there one of these times. At least you got to hang out in WrestleMania, so that was cool.
Yep.
It was cool for us, too.
I really appreciate you calling in, especially on a busy day for you with all the traffic and all that going on. Really appreciate it, and thanks very much for calling in.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Thanks, man.
Yep, bye.
Well, that went pretty good. Couture, have you been looking at the switchboard lately?
I'm there now.
Okay, you know how there's usually a timer when we go past the live feed and it still says we're recording?
Yeah.
Is the timer still running for you? Because, like, mine went blank, so I'm not even sure we got this last part of it in.
It just says recording in the song.
Okay. Well, hopefully, we've never had problems before with it, except for that one time it cut us off. But hopefully, all of Lance made the show. And if he didn't, then there's no point in apologizing because they're not going to hear the apology anyway. So
that's right.
I guess we'll wrap up here. I see Clary's still on hold. Clary, do you want anything else you want to talk about?
No, I was just listening to Lance. I was enjoying that. So, no, just again, I guess congratulations to you guys on 200 shows.
Cool. Well, thanks man. Appreciate you calling in and listening.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, no worries. You're welcome, guys.
Don't tell me Clary is one of the six people you sent emails to be on the show.
No, absolutely not. Yes, I sent one to Matt, I sent one to Rodney, and one to Sniper, and then, yeah, no, I
I asked guys to be on the show. No offense to Matt. Just, you know, guys that have actually been in a ring. You know.
Cool.
Those kind
of guys. Craig, you got anything you want to say before we wrap up? I know you're dying to go.
Yeah, definitely dying to go. Yeah, I'm going to go check out the Avengers.
Well,
tomorrow.
I'm glad you didn't see it before the show, so you can't give out spoilers. So don't give out any spoilers next week, because I'm probably not seeing it until Saturday at the IMAX. So
I'm going to the spoiler site and read the rundown of the movie right now.
I'm going to cut you off if you do. Do you have anything else you want to talk about besides that?
Who's that? No.
A what? No. Okay,
no, I'm good.
Well.
I'm going to go watch In Plain Sight. The series finale is tonight. I'm going to go watch that.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Okay. And I guess I'll just say one thing. I guess I owe someone an apology. And if you guys hear the last friend show, you'll know what I'm talking about. But Barb, I'm sorry I broke your chair last week. I didn't do anything but be too fat. That I didn't do it on purpose, and I will buy you a new chair.
What kind of chair
What
kind of chair was it?
It was like an office chair, a real nice leather padded office chair that just broke on me. Like I did the show last week at her house that I was sitting on it, and she had actually gone out of town. I was just there. I had gone to walk her dog and some other things, and I put it back to the show, and I'm just sitting there, and the next thing I know, the chair just. At first, it sank. It's one of those, you know, how like they go up or down.
Yeah.
It sank, and then it fucking went forward and almost fell out. I was like, oh my God. I was just pacing around back and forth. It's like, oh my God, how am I going to tell her I broke her fucking badass chair? And I'm never, ever going to hear the end of it now. But
why didn't you just replace it before she got back?
Yeah, like in a sitcom.
Because I didn't think about that. It's probably it's a nice chair. It's probably going to cost me a couple $100 to replace. So.
Well, you're going to have to replace
it anyway.
You're
probably so worried about it. You smoked more dope afterwards, right?
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
You were probably high. You don't need to be high sitting down on somebody's chair in their house when they're not there. That's rude.
As a big man, you need to learn to control your sitting. You know what I mean? You need to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just can't flop when you're a big man. You gotta have a controlled sit.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, I've never had another Shao-Hao moment where I sat down and broke a chair. I've seen like all of our cops sit down on a chair and have it watch it disintegrate underneath. It's never happened to me except three times, and all three times they were barbed chairs. I heard a whole lot about this chair over the weekend, so. Again, I apologize, and the chair will be replaced. And with that, we will let everyone go, and we will be back next week, and we will definitely have something to talk about next week. Now, where is the theme song? You never find the theme song. Oh, here it is.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit! Let's go hook him up!
Oh! Hands on
I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is off to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.